White Rocket Entertainment.
White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 282.
10, 9, 8, 7, ignition sequence started. All engines are started. We have ignition, 2, 1, 0. We have a liftoff. We have a liftoff, and it's lighting up the area. It's just like daylight here at Kennedy Space Center as the Saturn V is moving off the pad. It is now clear of the tower.
Hello and welcome to the White Rocket Game of Thrones podcast, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment and by people like you, our great patrons at patreon.com. It's one long conversation with a variety of guests about the best of popular culture. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my regular co-host on this and many other topics, John Ringer. Welcome back aboard the show, John.
Thanks for having me, Van.
We were not planning to do this show tonight, were we?
No, we weren't.
But we watched the episode last night, Sunday night, and we said, well, I said, and you said, okay. I said, dude, we've got to talk about this show. So we're going to do an abbreviated show tonight, going over the main points, and then we've got an AU Wishbone show for all of our football fan friends out there that we got to get in tonight. So this won't be a really long show. Our last few Game of Thrones shows have been about an hour and a half, but this episode we're going to do much shorter because we just want to hit some of the main topics. Now, I have to say very quickly that we are no longer part of Earth Station One Network. We no longer have them out there drumming up listeners and so forth for us. So we're depending on you folks out there that listen to spread the word, get the word out, leave reviews on iTunes, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, wake the dog, wake the neighbors, and let everybody know to tune into our shows either on iTunes or on Podbean, P-O-D-B-E-A-N. And we really appreciate it. Also, if you go to patreon.com/VanAllenPlexico, or just go to Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N.com, and search for Van Plexico, and you will find the Van Plexico White Rocket Patreon page where you can help support our shows, keep us on the air, keep us rolling. We're doing very well there, but we still have a little ways to go. In a little bit, I'll thank our various patrons and sponsors on there. But first, John, let's get right on into it. This was episode 2 of season 7 called Stormborn, and you had to know that Daenerys was going to have something to do with this episode because she is Daenerys Stormborn. She was born on Dragonstone, and that's where she arrived at the end of the first episode a week ago. So in this episode, we see her having a council of war around the big table on Dragonstone, and that's just one of several very cool things that happened on this episode. So instant thoughts, instant take, quick reactions. How did you react to this episode? How would you rate it, and what'd you think about it? And then we'll get into some specifics.
And the first episode was kind of setting up the chess pieces, and in this episode, the chess pieces started to move and the chess pieces started to fall, and so that was really exciting. I mean, there was a lot that happened in here,
yes.
And it made, you know, it was exciting. And we're also, like, we're a third done with the season, basically.
Yeah, no kidding. I want to go ahead and say up front, you called it. You said we were having the Battle of Actium pretty soon. Remember last week? You nailed it.
Yeah, the naval battle, it's obvious, like, they hadn't done it, that you'd seen the clips and the preview stuff they were going to do when they had two big navies. It was the obvious thing to do in the show, and they did a great job with it.
They did, although the only thing about it I thought was that the shaky cam in the dark, I had a hard time following what was happening.
It was a little confusing at times, and I agree, like, they could have made it clearer what was happening.
Apparently it took weeks to film all that. Just to give us 5 or 10 minutes. It probably wasn't even as long as we think it was. It was fast. It was a very quick set of sequence for considering a whole bunch of stuff happened in it. But even so, it was dark. It was jumping around. You know, they're basically the same. You know, the two naval crews were like the same people, which didn't help. It's not like one were in red armor and one were in blue armor or anything. They all looked the same.
Yeah, that was a problem. They're all in black and it's dark. And
yeah, it was a mess. I want to go back and watch it again. I watched it on the big screen down here in the dark. And it was like my entire basement wall was that bat sea battle. And I was just like having a hard time keeping track of everything. I'm going to go back and like watch it on the iPad or something where I can kind of have it, you know, small and contained. But it was an interesting sea battle. It was the last thing, though. So we'll get to that at the end. But I don't think we have this in exactly chronological order. I moved a couple of things around. But let's start with Danny and her war council. I'm not sure that was the first scene, but I want to start with that because that's what we were talking about. It's called Stormborn. It was a women's council other than Tyrion. Now, first, Dany decides to confront Viserys. It's like he's been with her all this time. He's helped her. He's been running. He's been, as they say on the other show, jetpacking around, going from point A to point B to point A to point B. And now that they're on Dragonstone, suddenly she decides, you know, I could go ahead and kill you. What did you think about the confrontation between Dany and Viserys? And you could see Tyrion sweating, right, for the sake of Viserys.
Sure. Varys, he...
Varys, yeah. I can't remember his name. Viserys was her brother. I'm sorry, Varys.
Yes, Varys. I really liked how he stood up for himself, though. Like some other guys would have sucked up, you know, and run it, rolled over, or whatever. But he laid out and said he realized he had to be honest with her and say, you know, I'm not serving you because you're a better person than these people. He said, I serve the people, and if you turn out to be a terrible queen and you're not good for the people, then we're going to have a problem. And I liked how she came back to him and said, if we get to that point, you have to come tell me
right
to my face.
Mm-hmm.
And so I respected that and I liked, but they also, if they didn't go there, then the show wasn't being honest with itself because she knew that Varys was part of the small council that sent the assassins and stuff. So they needed to have that conversation and clear the air. For her to trust him, but also like he's a really valuable guy, and she needs to be able to listen to him.
Well, I think that they also don't want to look like she just rolls over every time somebody presents her with an argument. In other words, she didn't go, "Yeah, you're right. I'll let you live." So she comes back with that illogical point at the end where she says, "But if you betray me, I'm going to burn you or whatever." And he says, mm-hmm. "I would expect nothing less from the Mother of Dragons." But I thought he was going to say something like, "You know how sometimes when you're winning an argument." And you still have to say, actually, you know what I mean? It's like, just let it go. Don't, you know, you've won the argument. Don't start a new one, right? I really thought that Varys was going to say, you know, she's going to say, you know, come to me if you think I'm doing wrong. Come to me, say it to my face, blah, 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 blah. And then she goes, but, you know, if you ever betray me, I'm going to burn you. I thought he was going to say, well, I thought you just told me that if I disagreed with you, I should point it out, right? I don't guess that's betraying her, but I thought the whole point of the argument was that it was okay for him to have betrayed the Lannisters because they were bad. Yes. I guess she's saying, don't betray me, come to me and we'll talk it out, right?
I think what she's saying is betrayal is a bad feature in a servant, in a worker.
Yeah. Well, he's basically Talleyrand, you know. He worked for Louis the 16th, he worked for Napoleon, he worked for Louis the 18th, he worked for Napoleon again. He just changed jerseys whoever was in charge in Paris, and that's basically what Varys does. So, okay, well, I wanted to kind of get to the bottom of that, and I do like that they would, every time that they would have their little back and forth, the camera would cut to Tyrion, and he didn't move, but his eyes would shift. You know, he'd look to one of them to hear what they had to say, and then he looked to the other like, okay, what are you going to say? It was just neat. It was like he was watching a tennis match. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It was so funny.
And you could tell he was into it.
And he had a rooting interest, too, because he wanted Varys basically to win because he didn't want him to get killed for just needlessly in his point of view, right? But it is interesting, too, that other than the hand of the queen, Tyrion, there, it was like an all – and Grey Worm, it was an all – women's leadership group, and they addressed that on the post show, and I'm going to mention the post show a time or two more because there's some important stuff. But they asked either Benioff or Weiss, whichever one, they asked him about that, and they, you know, that it was all women, and then two people of color and a dwarf, and he said something like, well, we didn't plan that, but he says when it came together that way and we realized it, you know, we weren't upset. We thought, well, that's pretty cool. And I felt sort of the same way, which was that, you know, we've been seeing all along how the men in this show have been basically exterminating each other, like the Plantagenets or something, you know, just wiping each other out. And the women are the ones that are left to pick up the pieces, either because they're the only ones left or because they were wiser or more crafty or more careful, you know, particularly the Queen of Thorns, right? Whatever her name is. Who, she had a great line. By the way, John, I have to say, every time we see her on the screen, I kind of stop and shake myself and go, that's Tracy Bond. She, you know, she's still around, you know? She was James Bond's, she was James Bond's wife in 1969, and she's still on the screen being awesome. How cool is that?
She's still killing it.
Oh, she's so awesome. I love it. And I love how at the end, after the whole meeting was over, she said, you know, I'm still around and all those men aren't because I ignored them. She says, you're a dragon. They're sheep. Be a dragon. I thought that was pretty cool.
It was really good.
How do you think Dany's going to take that advice? I mean, what's she going to do with it?
I think she's gonna, you know, and she's right. Like on the other continent, like she took chances and was aggressive, and it worked for her for a long time. And I think she can't be cautious. And so I think, especially as the events in the episode come back to her, I think she's gonna throw caution to the wind, I think, a little bit and go on the offensive. So,
well, there is a danger she could be too conservative and too careful, because when she was in Essos, she really just had no hope, you know, and so everything she did was a wild gamble. But now it's one of those things where once you kind of get your foot in the door, now you kind of get scared to mess it up.
Well, that's right. Well, and it's also like she was kind of the favorite coming into the season. She had the Dothraki, she had the Unsullied, she's got the dragons, she's got the navy, she's got the alliance with Dorne and the Highgarden, and you know, everybody was like, well, she's in the driver's seat, but you know, it's possible still to blow it too.
She doesn't have the navy anymore.
Nope.
She's already taken a hit there. She's still got air superiority, although that may be on the wane a little bit too. Well, let's talk about that for a second. That wasn't on our list, but that's something real fast. Qyburn. He's working on exactly what we talked about, John. He's working on an anti-dragon missile launcher thing.
A ballista, like a big catapult, basically. But yes, and it makes sense. Like, you got to have a weapon, and that's the kind of weapon they would use against dragons, the big bolts, the pierce, you know, spears with, you know, really heavy tips on them, go through dragon hide or go through the wings or something. So it makes a lot of sense.
Will that weapon or that type of weapon under Cersei's command, will it kill 0, 1, 2, or 3 dragons before it's over?
One.
Yeah, I agree. One. By the way, a dragon will not be the prize that Euron Greyjoy brings back to Cersei. I guess it's going to be Alara. I'm sorry about the names, but having not read the books in 10 years, I can't ever remember their names just from being mentioned briefly on the show. The Dorne princess or whatever she is.
The paramour of the Red Viper. That's who you're talking about.
Yes. Well, yeah, Indira Varma is her actual name, but I can't remember the name she plays on the show. Did she get killed or did she get captured? It wasn't clear. Because there were two women dead on the prow of the ship at the end.
That was the two younger daughters. The oldest daughter and her were captured. And Arya. I mean, not Arya, the Theon's older sister.
Yara.
She has a different name in the books.
My favorite character on the show, Yara. Yeah, I love Yara. So, it wasn't clear to me, but Okay, so he captured Yara. He captured the leader lady, but I guess Colleen from Iron Fist got killed, right? Wasn't she one of the two younger ones?
Yes.
I hate that. She's okay. I like that actress. Okay, more about that at the end. So John gets first John got a message from Cersei last week saying come down and bend the knee, right?
Yes.
This week John send a message to Danny? I'm kind of confused now.
He got a message from Sam.
Oh, yeah. About the dragon glass. But he also got a message from Danny wanting him to come down there, right? And he was like, oh, because everybody around him was telling him, I don't know if we want you to go all the way down to Dragonstone. I mean, remember the last time somebody in our family went down to meet with a Targaryen, right?
Yes.
So in other words, Danny and her people know about Jon, and they want to go ahead and...
Well, Tyrion knows Jon.
Well, like, right, but I mean, they know he's King of the North now. That's fairly recent.
Yes.
And I believe Danny put it like she wanted him to come down and bend the knee too, right? I mean, I thought that was maybe a step too far there. It's just interesting because everybody else's priority is win the war. John's is don't get wiped out by the zombies. You know, he's the one having to wave the flag frantically and go, instead of killing each other, could we focus on the real enemy, you know? And then it turns into the People's Army of Judea bit from Life of Brian. You know the bit in Life of Brian where they're arguing over who the real enemy is? And they never will say it's the Romans. They all say it's the other Judean group. That's kind of what we have here, right?
The People's Front of Judea.
People's Front of Judea, right. They all think that the People's Front of Judea is the real enemy. And John's like, dude, it's the zombies, man. They're the Romans, you know. So what do you think about... John decided, you knew he was going to go, right? I mean, he had to, something was going to happen to make him go. And we knew that was going to happen. And it was the dragon glass, right?
Well, I mean, and he takes leadership in a very personal way. He doesn't view himself as a CEO type. He views himself as a lead from the front type. So, right. But I'm a little worried about John.
Yeah.
I like John. I like Jon Snow a lot, but he's on the Eddard Stark stupid track right now.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's too noble for his own good, trust everybody, think everybody's out for the betterment of the realm type of thing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not.
No.
You can't trust them. And you ultimately can't trust anyone except your own military power that you have with you, in sight of you, basically. There's a reason Cersei doesn't leave King's Landing, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's a real risk. Like, I don't think she's going to chop his head off, but she could throw him in the jail cell for a while. You know, she could deny him the dragon glass. You know, she could say bend the knee or I'm cutting your head off.
Well, Davos is going with him, right? So is it going to be another one of these deals where John makes a clumsy argument, it's not working, and then Davos steps up and says something wise, like a wise homily or something, and suddenly Danny sees the light?
Davos is going to save his bacon. He's a much better diplomat. Like,
that's what he does.
You know, by going and putting himself in peril, John just does show Daenerys how serious he takes this threat of the White Walkers.
That's true.
Like, it's not it's not so serious that I'm not leaving my castle over it. He's saying, like, I'm putting my life in your hands because this is the worst thing that's ever going to happen and I'm trying to stop it. So I get that part, but it is risky. I mean, he's done some other things that are like, I worry about John. I mean, he's clearly kind of the hero of the whole story and all that, but he needs to smarten up.
Will his parentage figure into the resolution of his encounter with Danny? Or are they saving that for later?
They're saving that for later.
So he'll have an encounter with Danny, start to finish, and it won't come up. It won't be a factor.
That's correct.
I'm trying to imagine...
Who there knows?
Yeah, it's really only Bran, and he hadn't even gotten to Winterfell yet. He'll get there about the time John leaves, probably. I'm just trying to...
Maybe John runs into him on the road, but I don't think so.
Well, no, they're going the wrong direction, aren't they?
I agree, but maybe Bran's... You know, there's a road that leads from Winterfell to the main road, and maybe Bran's coming down the main road when John gets there. I don't... You know.
Okay. I'm trying to imagine how the scene's going to go. Like, John will be like... Oh my God, lady! You gotta help. There's zombies coming. You're silly boy. I'm gonna burn you with fire. And then Davos steps up. Nice lady, hear my wisdom. And then it's all. Oh, he's a kindly old man. I'll listen to him.
Except, what if the Red Lady is standing with Daenerys?
Oh, that's right. Because she did show up, didn't she? She showed up on Dragonstone.
How is he going to react then?
Oh, man. Oh, Davos is going to lose his... And it's all going to be on, man. Oh, boy. Well, all right. So that's Danny and John. By the way, any other... John did exactly what Ned did and tried to strangle Littlefinger. That can't be a good idea. I mean, I know that John is protective of his sisters and his family. His cousin or whatever she actually is. I know that he's noble and everything, but that really was taking the Ned Express right there. Especially when Littlefinger just bailed your butt out. I mean, I understand he's a slime ball. I get it. But there are times in life when you have to put up with slime balls because they're what keep you alive and are what keeping you in, you know, from kept you from getting killed. So I don't know. If I were John, I don't think I would have been ticked with him. I might have given him an ugly look. I don't know if I'd have given him an excuse to work even more against me than he already was, you know?
That's right. I mean, I'm worried as soon as you're out of sight, that guy's going to be plotting to take over your castle or take his Knights of the Vale away or whatever. And you gave him an excuse to do that. I would have been diplomatic with him and then gone and found Brienne and said, watch that guy and cut his head off if he does anything.
Yeah, yeah. I'd be like, Littlefinger, you're awesome. I'm so thankful that you came and saved us all. Wow, that's fantastic. Brienne, kill him if he looks at you the wrong way. Absolutely.
That's it.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, I agree that even more than going to see Danny, I thought that was taking the Eddard Stark, cut my head off, please, express. Let me see. The next one I want to talk about is Jaime, because I'm saving the big two for last. Well, there's another one that's kind of gross too. So three more things. Jaime at the council meeting in the South with Cersei's crowd. Sam's dad, Randall Tarly, who is a jerk, but he's a fairly honorable one, right? And he owes his allegiance to Highgarden, to the Queen of Thorns, if I understand correctly. And here was Jaime trying to peel him away, right? Get him to make sure he's on the Lannister side. Are they still pretending to be the Baratheons, or are they throwing that out and it's just the freaking Lannisters ruling the country now?
They're pretending to be the... What sigil was on King's Landing at the opening credits? The stag.
Right. There's not a Baratheon left.
Cersei is the wife of the deceased king.
Yeah, right.
So, she's carrying on the Baratheon line.
Oh, my gosh. She's about as Baratheon as I am. I'm more Baratheon than she is. I've got dark hair.
You got the dark hair.
Yeah, exactly. I may be a Baratheon. Who knows? You might be, too. Maybe we're cousins like Jon Snow. Well, what did you make of Jaime? I mean, he, as much as he's on the bad side and the side we're rooting against, it really sucks for us because we like him, don't we?
I mean, I like Jaime as a character much more than I liked him in the first season. I think he's really come a long way. And I think he made good arguments to Randall Tarly. Is it going to work? I don't know.
He's a smart guy. I mean, he's very effective. He made good arguments to take River Run.
Yep.
So yeah.
he's making a difference.
Well, I was saying it was kind of like the fake news approach where he was saying, you know, just enough truth in it to make it plausible. You know, oh, she's insane. She's brought the Dothraki to our shore. Good God, man. How can you ever support her? And, you know, like, well, she did that mainly just because your family are horrible and she's just doing anything she can to kill you. But she, meaning either the Queen of Thorns or Dany, since they're on the same side now. So it was just enough, you know, it was just enough truth mixed in with just enough exaggeration to play on their patriotism. You know, I don't know. I felt like they were all going to be invading Iraq next or something. Okay. We got three more quick ones to go. Three more good ones. Arya. Now, Arya shows up, and it's Hot Pie. I was so excited to see Hot Pie because, you know, Arya's face lit up as much as she has. She smiled. She seemed happy for the first time in forever, other than happy like I just killed 30 guys, right? I mean, happy in an innocent young woman's way as opposed to a horrible, well, not horrible, but a justifiable homicide way, right? So what did you make first of her meeting with Hot Pie and learning about John and everything?
I mean, I thought that was a great moment when she learned that John was alive and in charge of the North. Mm-hmm. And he asked about the thing you pointed out about Brienne running into her.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a fun meeting. I mean, and it changed her mind. Like, she was originally going south to King's Landing. When she came out, she went north towards home.
Yeah, so... Again, she'll probably get there after after John is gone, clearly, but Sansa will be there, so we'll have the Arya Sansa reunion, and I wonder if Arya will come to the rescue if Littlefinger tries anything on Sansa.
Oh, that'd be all over.
She could put on the Littlefinger mask and run the armies of the Vale.
I thought about that. Well, let me ask you a real question. Do you think Arya ever gets to Winterfell? Because I don't.
Where do you think she's going to end up?
I don't know, but I don't think she's going to Winterfell.
Really? Why not? Why not? I don't get it. I just
think, like, that's not where her path is going to take her. Well, and I think that part of the wolf thing leads to this.
Well, last season and this season, they've started bumping all the pieces together again like we didn't see in the first five seasons.
Yes.
So it's more likely now that they do have a reunion and then maybe get separated again. Maybe she goes off on a mission or something. I'm still not exactly sure where they're going with Arya. I mean, we've seen her journey from childhood to adult, basically, into assassin, into very successful assassin. But I don't know where you go from there. Do we bring her back? Do we make her worse? Is she the one that ends up killing Cersei? I don't know where they're going with her.
I think she stays an assassin. I think that's who she is. She's the Stark instrument of vengeance. Yeah. And I think once she goes back to Winterfell, they're going to be like, put this dress on and stay in there. you're laughing, but she's like a 14-year-old girl or whatever, a 15-year-old girl in this show. She doesn't get to go out on her own in the wild and kill everybody she meets. They're not going to let her do that. Jon and Sansa are not going to let that happen.
Oh, I think she would just leave if they said anything like
that. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think she would go there and she would be unhappy with the role they gave to her. They're not going to be like, yeah, you could be our super ninja. No. No, they're not going to be like that. Think about you're too valuable. We're not risking you in the dangerous world. You're going to stay here.
You don't think we'll see a Bran, Arya, Sansa reunion at Winterfell while Jon is gone?
I don't think at any point in the show, like, those four characters will be in the same location, or even three of those characters.
Wow. Okay. This is me.
This is my opinion. I don't think that it will be three Stark children, you know, including Jon, in the same location in the entire rest of the series.
Okay. I disagree. Again, up through season five, I would have agreed with you. But I just feel like now that the show is in the hands of the DBs, the showrunners, it's become more conventional, in both for bad and for good. And one of the ways is that things like this happen more than they would have in the when it was based more on the book. So we'll see. I got to explain about Nymeria because this was something that wasn't remotely clear to me. And if you don't have HBO Now or HBO Go or whatever to see the after the show discussion with the producers that they do on there for about 5 minutes, you might not have gotten this. I explained it to a couple of people on Twitter last night that I mentioned it and people were like, "What? I don't understand." I'm like, "Well, you know, I sent a private message." Here's the deal. The big wolf and all the little wolves came up and Arya was scared to death, and then she thought it's Nymeria, and so she went up and was like introducing herself. She put her sword down and she's like, "Hi girl, it's me, Nymeria." And Nymeria kind of looked at her and then turned around and everybody walked away. And Arya was saying, "Come with me. I'm going to Winterfell. Come with me." And they all are like, "Nah," and they left. And then so she started almost to cry, right? She seemed really sad. And then she said, "That's not her." And she kind of smiled. Now, I initially took that to mean that Arya was making herself feel better about the wolves not going with her by trying to convince herself that that was not actually Nymeria. But that's not what was going on at all. I totally misread it, although I don't know how anybody could have known how to read it properly with what they were what we were provided.
I don't know what the showrunner said. My take was,
okay,
Nymeria has grown up and become a different person.
Yeah.
She's not the Nymeria of a puppy,
right,
that was Arya's best friend. She's Nymeria, the grown wolf who has this pack and has pack responsibilities and is a leader and needs to stay with her people. She can't go run off and take care of Arya and stuff. She needs to stay with the wolves that are people now. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't going to hurt Arya, but she wasn't going to leave them for Arya either because she's changed. She's a different person. Now, right. The wolf is. And so my read was, Arya is going to reflect on that and realize that she's not the same person either. And I think that means she's going to go back to being an assassin and not go to Winterfell. This is my theory.
All right. I can't address the latter part, but okay. Here's what they said about the part about Nymeria and Arya. They said that in the first season, it was a callback to the first season. In the first season, Ned sat down with Arya and was telling her about, you're a princess, you're going to have dresses and balls and parties and all this. And Arya looked at Ned and said, "That's not me." And so Arya was reminding herself that taking Nymeria with her to Winterfell is not, like you said, it's not where Nymeria needed to be, and that's not her. That's not Nymeria anymore. So you're pretty much right, but it was a direct reference back to what Arya had said to her father back in season one. Mm-hmm. So that's not her didn't mean it's not Nymeria the way I took it. It meant it was Nymeria. It's just not who she is anymore. Okay.
Yes.
So that was pretty cool. We've got two more to go. Real quick, I have to point out, I have to thank our sponsors. We have great patrons on Patreon.com. The list gets longer and longer, and I'm thrilled about that. But again, we're only about halfway there, so we need your help. We want to thank our patrons, Nicholas Cottrell, David Medinas, Mark Squire, Dave Powell, Jared Albrick, Rich Reimer, Michael Kirshner, Bill Matthews, Joey Miller, Matthew Wagstaff, Chris Thrash, Wes Atkinson, J.W. Rice, and Phil Amthor of WeHaveDonuts.com. If you're in Alabama and you're near Birmingham, maybe, and you want donuts, the amazing homemade cool donuts, hit up Phil Amthor at WeHaveDonuts.com. Cool. Again, our list just gets longer and longer, but we still are only about halfway there, and we need your help. If you as little as just spread the word, or at Patreon.com, look up Van Plexico, search for Van Plexico, or go to patreon.com/VanAllenPlexico. As little as $1 a month goes a long way and helps us stay on the air. Next to last point, Sam tries to cure Jorah. That was about as gross as they keep giving Sam the gross scenes. What the heck, Sam? What's next, What's left for him to do? What do you think about this alleged cure that Sam's trying to work on him?
I appreciate him trying to cure Jorah. It means that they're going to do something with Jorah and not let him die a crazy person with the stone man disease. But,
right.
And it's something for Sam to do.
Yeah, while he's there now that he's got the glass information, yeah.
Right, so, the going from the pus wound to the
pie
with hot pie was just amazingly disgusting.
It was horrible. It was just terrible, yeah. but it certainly made an impact and impression on us all, didn't it? Yeah, you have to think if they're spending this much time on it that Jorah is going to get healed, right? Otherwise, why show all this? And is going to play an important role. What role will Jorah yet play once he's healed and looks more like the mummy but isn't contagiously horrific anymore?
It's got to be tied to Daenerys. He's got to do something for her.
Come back and save her one more time or something?
Yeah, guard her, protect her or something.
Well, I don't think she'll want him near her. Well, but she did say go heal yourself, right? So I guess it's conceivable that she could take him back. I figured it'd be more of one of those things where he jumps out of the bushes at the last second to keep her from getting killed during the final battle or something. Well, we'll see. And then lastly, the sea battle. We talked a little bit about it already. There is Yara messing around with the sand lady Theon. Theon is there. He seems to be mostly more or less recovered from his trauma. And then lo and behold, Euron attacks with his battering ram ships, his ramming ships, and we get an honest-to-goodness sea battle. It looked like he was firing catapulted fireballs at Yara's fleet, didn't it?
Yeah, no, they ambushed them with – the initial attack was all like fire. They were fire catapults or something. And it wasn't the Greek fire, magic fire stuff that they had at King's Landing, but
it was
definitely fire, and they ambushed them and it was caught them completely by surprise, which was not optimal and at night, and caught a bunch of the ships on fire, and then rammed the flagship with the big flagship of the Iron Fleet and dropped the gangplank on them and locked them into position, and that was it.
That was it. So apparently Yara's fleet is toast. And Euron, the one thing I want to say about this scene they haven't said already, they haven't had a lot of time to establish Euron as the latest bad guy. But I think that in minimal screen appearances, in very, very minimal screen appearances, they have done a remarkable job of putting him right up there in Ramsay Bolton territory as the latest sort of B-list character you hate.
Oh, yeah. No, you hate that guy.
And I mean, they've done it so quickly. It took like two seasons to establish how crazy Ramsay was and who he was before you really despised him. But dang, Euron has been like bang, bang, bang. There he is, full blown. He's basically a pirate, lunatic, cackling, evil. I mean, he just couldn't be any more over the top bad guy, could he?
No, he couldn't, and the way he taunted Theon at the end, I mean, that was hardcore.
You got to think that Theon escaped for a purpose, though. I mean, I know that his scariness, his scaredy-catness made him get away, but now that he's gotten away, maybe he's going to end up doing something important.
I think he's likely to kill himself.
Now, I think he's going to... They move.
You think he's going to go to King Landing, and he's not going to get to rescue his sister? He's going to go to the Iron Islands and fight for the throne with his uncle? Skeptical.
He's going to do something. They wouldn't have left him alive, and he's a main character going all the way back to season one. He's going to end up redeeming himself before it's over, I guarantee it. It would be poor storytelling just to take his character arc to where it is now and then just leave it. And he got away for a reason. If they were done with him, they'd have killed him. He got away. He got away on the immediacy because he was scared because of his trauma, but he got away in the story purpose in the long run because he has a part yet to play, I think.
To me, the only two parts he could play are go back to the Iron Islands and do some kind of resistance, or, you know, sneak into King's Landing and try and rescue his sister.
Yeah, well, either one of those would be good. That's fine. That gives him something to do. So, all right. Any other thing about the sea battle or anything else?
I mean, it was an exciting scene. There was a lot of action there. The sand snakes, they haven't done a lot to develop them, but you were sorry to see them go. So,
yeah, I'm enjoying this season a lot. I mean, I was saying on Twitter that this season and a bunch of last season have been like big budget motion pictures every week. You know, we go down in the basement, watch them like it's a movie every Sunday night, and it's amazing. So I'm just blown away by what they're doing. So, all right. Well, we will be not back next week because I guess we'll both be out of town of our respective towns, right? I'll certainly be out of town for that week. But in 2 weeks, are we planning on coming back and doing the mid-show?
After episode, yes.
It's after episode. We're not going to be here for episode 3, but we'll do episode 4, and we'll catch up on 3 then. I'll be seeing 3 and 4 back-to-back that weekend anyway, so I'll be all set to do 3 and 4 big time.
I'm going to say yes.
Cool. All right. All right. Well, the Rocket's going to get on out of here for this episode. We got a whole other show to do real fast, so we will see you guys down the road. Be sure to visit whiterocketbooks.com and go to Patreon, patreon.com/VanAllenPlexco. What do we say to death, John?
Not today.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.